For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ladies Talking Leafs, and welcome to the show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And wow, time has flown by, for me anyways, I think, from our last episode. And as always, we have a lot to get into with the Leafs. First of all, the NHL standings are so tight right now, and the Leafs right now sit third in the Atlantic, only a point ahead of the Lightning with three games in hand. And of course, we got to win those games in hand. But there's also less than 30 games left in the NHL season, and Bet Online is your number one source for all your NHL wagering needs. Bet Online is also your source for basketball wagering, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-date minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs and in-game live betting contests and all the best player props.
Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use your promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or advice, please reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Remember to place your limits and stay within it.
Okay, starting off the show today, I had to do this. There were some fun posts on, I guess we call them posts now, on X rather than tweets. And I couldn't resist not mentioning these few because they just made me laugh. Most of them came from last night. We're recording this on Sunday. But the first one I had was from Carlton the Bear. And he had Carlton's Cap Shack for $5. Business is booming in the Cap Shack. And we all know that, or Leaf fans know that, with all the hat tricks that have been going on this week. So, yeah. And
also posted after last night's game, Damian Cox, who's been trolling people pretty much since that Ottawa game. He said, yes, sir, Ridly Greig sure wrecked the Leafs season, right? Yes. And that's, I guess, in reference to the fact that things have been going pretty well in the goal scoring game since Morgan Riley's suspension. So, looking okay right now, basically weathering the storm so far, it seems.
And the Sens aren't doing too well, but
no,
who cares about that? All right. And then another one we had, I guess the handle is at the Oak Leafs. He has a photo of Matthews putting on the Leafs jersey at the draft. And he said, seriously, though, as happy as we were at that time, we had no effing clue. I don't know. It just caught me funny. As you see the youthful face of Austin Matthews at that time putting the Leafs jersey on after getting picked first overall in the 2016 draft. And yeah, we really had no clue.
Like, that is so true. Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anybody could have even imagined what he would be doing now. So
yeah.
Anyway, sticking with social media, we want to thank our followers on Facebook, on our Facebook page, as we hit 1,000 followers over there. So thank you so much. we can't believe we've hit 1,000. So yeah, that's really great. And we love the interaction that we have there with the people that visit our page.
Yeah, we have the most interaction on that Facebook page.
Absolutely.
So kudos to them, all of our followers there. And yeah, they're it's the first out of our social media, that's the first one where we've hit the 1,000. So thank you.
Exactly. So thank you so much. And be sure to hit the follow button wherever you listen to our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button and you won't miss any episodes, along with being able to see our videos and other Ladies Talking Leafs highlights. So now it's time to get into the show, and we're back to our regular programming with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to hit the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And for our third period segment, we're going to have a little bit of fun, as we are less than 3 weeks away from the NHL trade deadline. So we're going to chat about a couple of trade options that we've heard the Leafs might be connected to. And we're also going to go back in time a little bit to revisit a few or a couple of the past Leafs trade deadline deals that we thought were interesting to revisit. And anyway, so without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right. So the good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah, we've missed this one for a bit, this segment. So starting off with the good. So my good is Jake McCabe. That guy's just a warrior right now. To start the season, into the middle of the season, he was good, but he wasn't that great. Ever since Simon Benoit there, that pairing, I think he's really upped his game. And now with Morgan Rielly out the past few games, he's really ramped it up a notch. But I mean, the guy is like a warrior, and you could see that in his face now since he got that lovely, it was called interference by Mason Marchment of Dallas in the game couple weeks ago, and he basically just put his stick into his face, and so he has that nice cut on his nose there. But his game, though, it's just been, he's got 41 hits. In his last 10 games, he has 41 hits, 20 block shots, and in three of the past five games, he's played over 20 minutes a night. So he's really making a difference for me. And just he's kind of like he's a glue guy in the dressing room too. He's very vocal, and he's vocal on the bench, and he, like, all the missed calls and everything, like he's telling the refs off basically. And that's the kind of guy I like. I like that kind of player where he's sticking up for his teammates and for the refs when they're not making the calls, which has been, he's almost like becoming like Bunting in a way, like where with the calls not being called against him.
Well, I don't know if really you can compare him to Bunting.
somebody else said that on X, but do you know who are, out of all these stats that I was just said, do you know who our leader in block shots is right now?
Austin?
No. I was actually surprised because he's not playing that great. TJ Brody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on the ice a lot, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised. But yeah, so that's my good Jake McCabe, and I just want it, hopefully he'll continue to play this well, and over the past couple of weeks he's been really good.
Okay, so I can't disagree with that. So for mine, I'm going with Max Domi. I kind of feel like he is ramping up for the playoffs, and somehow the closer we get to that, you know, time of year, I mean, I think there's a reason why teams have always traded for him at the deadline, and this is why. It's because the guy is starting to ramp up his game, and I expect that he's going to be really important for us in the playoffs. And, you know, I don't think it's showing on the scoreboard yet what he's doing. Like in the last five games, like he really only has like 3 points. He's got 2 assists and one goal, but he's made some incredible plays to facilitate other goals by other people. Yeah. And he's ramping up the physicality. He's been really mixing it up lately.
Yeah. Especially in the last couple games. He might be injured though,
because
unfortunately.
Of that. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. His dad was in the stands too last night. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I've just been really impressed with his energy of late. And
Keith is finally giving him ice time too.
100%. Yeah. So like that's the biggest difference is that his time on ice, you know, even in the, at the start of, well, actually, I guess against St. Louis, he played a fair amount. He played 18 minutes that game, but you know, at the start of this 5-game stretch, he was playing 11 minutes and now he's playing, you know, over 15. So, so I think that's good. And
Keith didn't have a choice, obviously, because of the injuries with like Nylander or Marner
and them being sick and stuff,
being out and everything. Yeah.
I think that he's going to start producing more and getting those looks, you know, in better spots. So
hopefully too, like, the fact that Keith had to do that, like hopefully, like it gives him the trust anyways now to maybe play him more.
Yeah.
Because he's been playing well, I think too. And there may have been, I mean, there was a couple of times, I guess, what was it? As I fix my earpiece here so I can hear you. But a couple of times, I guess he's been playing with Robertson and Bertuzzi on like a third line. And then he was moved up as replacing Tavares on the second line too. So all that I think is really, he really played well in all these opportunities that he's been given.
Yeah, I think so. And I just like how I'm seeing him kind of, it just looks to me like he's just ramping it up. So that's good.
Yeah.
He'll be peaking at the right time, hopefully.
And hopefully he won't be injured.
Get hurt.
He did miss practice today, but hopefully that was just like maintenance.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to the bad. It's almost like a recording here. It's basically our losses against the league's bottom six teams. Like it's almost every season that this happens. So I'm not going to go on too much about this, but right now we're 5-6-3 against those bottom six teams. And
this is excluding last night.
Yes.
Or including last night. I mean, it's kind of, you know,
we're excluding the Anaheim.
Yes. It may not seem fair that we're mentioning it, you know, after a game like that. But that's only one game.
That loss to the Senators really.
Yeah.
That should not have happened. And
That rubbed you the wrong way for sure. And truthfully, like, what did we say last night? That is what should happen all the time. That complete domination from start to finish is the way it should be against these types of teams.
That's what contenders do.
For sure.
True contenders. Yeah. They beat those teams like that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's that record 5-6-3 is the worst of any team in a playoff spot right now against that group. So we have the worst record that way. And it's just losing important points, right? Like if you think about it, we'd be right behind Boston, basically, like with the points. Right now we're kind of we're in the third spot, which we don't know for sure that we like, but or if we want
Well, right now, I guess if the playoffs were to start today, we'd be playing Boston. And honestly, I would take that matchup. I think that we could beat them, I think, over 7 games.
Oh, so Florida is ahead of Boston now?
Yeah, they are right now.
Okay. All right.
Today. Yeah.
As of today of Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Florida is the team that I'd like to avoid if at all possible. But, you know, in the end, like, you got to take what you get, right? But
But we'll see. It's always going to be always changing. We're going to be talking about this now for the next 2 months.
That's
basically.
Right.
Basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So who's your bad?
So my bad, I mean, like, I don't like picking on people, but my bad, or, you know, who's going through a disappointing stretch, let's just say, is Pontus Holmberg. As I was researching this a little bit today, you know, I almost forgot that he was playing on the top line with Austin and Mitch for, you know, quite a while. And slowly, he's basically worked his way back down the lineup. And I think that says everything that you need to know. He's just really meh right now. And in the last five games, for example, he's got 0 points. He's kind of like, you know, up around the plus one, minus one range. And he's only recorded 3 shots on net. Meanwhile, you know, his line mate at times, Bobby McMahon, is like lighting it up. And you would think that he would be in on some of those points, but he's not. So it's just a player who doesn't seem very engaged right now. And he's, you know, considering like, what do we talk about all the time? Like needing the secondary scoring. And yes, we're getting it from McMahon, but he is not contributing really in any way, except for maybe on the defensive side. And I'm not sure that's going to be enough to keep him on this roster if he's going to continue playing like this.
That's the thing. He's been in and out of the lineup the past couple of games because Kampf came back versus the Blues, right? And although, I mean, we're giving David Kampf sort of a pass because he was injured for a few games.
Another one that's been kind of quiet, you know, missing in action or really.
Yeah, but he's only noticeable. Just came back, right? So that's fine. He came back versus the Blues.
Before that, hasn't really been the David Kampf that we were all lauding, you know, seasons before this, you know?
Yeah. And then he gets the contract and this is what happens. But which is why we'll get to in our third period segment with the trade deadline stuff. It's why we're looking for somebody as a forward like that, a defensive forward, because David Kampf hasn't, I don't know, something has not gone well for him this season anyways way. But going back to Pontus Holmberg,
that's not an abnormal thing. I mean, players sometimes play out of their minds and have career years and sometimes they have off years. Like stuff goes on behind the scenes that we don't know. So it just could be an off year for him. Anyway,
but Holmberg, I mean, he's like, you would think because of that, like this being in and out of the lineup and let's just say Kampf isn't having a great season, like you would think that would push a young player like that to want to play better and show some energy. But I didn't even notice that he was playing last night.
No, I know. That's why, like, he's just, he's kind of invisible lately. Yeah. And that's why, like, I was reminded that, oh my God, he was like elevated to the top line for a time. Like what happened?
That's true. Yeah.
Right. You know, like that doesn't just happen by accident, you know, like.
No, I know.
That's based on merit. But he's just not sticking, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, hopefully he, you know, has a turnaround and goes back up the other way again.
I think JT is going to be in the lineup again tomorrow versus the Blues in St. Louis. So I think Holmberg is probably going to be the one out, I would think.
Well, based on his play, I mean, like, who else are you going to take out, right?
Yeah. All right. So moving on now to the ugly, and we only have the one ugly, and it's well-deserving. It's the NHL Department of Player Safety with the whole, I mean, the whole, I think everybody covered enough of the whole Morgan Riley situation. Yes. So we're not going to dig too deep into it. It just, for me, it just makes no sense. I mean, I was just looking it up here too. The one that really kills me is when you look at comparing different actions, I guess, of players was the one Jacob Trouba with the slashing penalty where he like swung his stick at the player's face on the Blues, on the St. Louis Blues, and he got a $5,000 fine for that. And it's like, okay. So you're telling me like Morgan Riley, because it was not during the play or however they worded it in that video, that it was like after the fact that he went and cross-checked the guy. But because that was in play, that it's only worth a fine, that one, and not a suspension, whereas Morgan Riley gets suspended. I don't know. I just, I, And then there was other videos too going all over social media with that. But I just don't understand George Peros. And for me personally, I do think he has, like from his days when Colton Orr in that fight where he got knocked out, back in the day when you could actually do the fights and there was the enforcers in the league. I just think he has something against from that time. He just has that. And
I mean, and the stats stand for themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If the Leafs, like that's what, and I think I said it on Twitter, X, that, you know, how can you be both the most penalized team in the league with regards to suspensions and also the softest team in the league? Like, how are you, how are those both, those two things, they don't go together. So. No. You know, the fact that he has doled out the most games in his tenure to Leafs players and to Leafs players that are not even like really the only one probably is Bunting who has like any kind of history.
Right.
Like anybody else has not had any record. And in fact, a couple of them are like Lady Bing candidates every year. So.
Including Morgan Riley.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Him and Austin Matthews.
And like, Austin Matthews, yeah.
They're like among the least penalized players in the league, which I guess goes to show you that anyone can snap. So there's that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they gave Austin two games for his cross check, which to me was similar. And
yeah, but five games. That's five games for what Morgan Riley did. I mean, that is just insane.
Especially when there was no injury. As well. And I know that people don't want to take that into account, but
yeah, a lot of ex NHLers were saying like 2 to 3 games at the most, like players that played.
I have not heard a single player, even Mark Mathot, who is like a Sens sympathizer big time, didn't think that it warranted that. So anyway, it was an entertaining situation. Everyone was talking about it for the better part of a week. So, you know, but I guess the whole thing is what I feel like is like the Leafs are like the child of the coach. You know, when your dad is your coach, he's always going to bring the hammer down on you harder than anybody else on the team because he doesn't want to look like he's playing favorites.
Right.
So I kind of feel like with the Leafs always being, you know, on the national broadcast and in the eye of the storm all the time, all eyes are on them. It's like,
and they're being made an example.
His player safety and is saying, well, I can't show them any benefit. Yeah. I have to, you know, make an example of them because number one, it shows the rest of the league that, oh, if I'm going to bring the hammer down on the Leafs, then, you know, we better watch ourselves. Or at least that's what should happen. But I think that's what it is kind of like to me. Like that's the closest analogy that I can think of is that it's like the dad who doesn't want to play favorites with his kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I guess Morgan Riley appealed the suspension too. So we'll see if Bettman reduces it in any way. I mean,
that supposed to happen?
I don't even know. The meeting happened on Friday already, right? But I don't know when he's...
But now,
I
guess, like, he's already... Like, does the game against St. Louis, because I know his hearing was that day, does that count as one of the days of his suspension?
Yeah.
So there's already been three games.
Three games, yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Are they just going to say after tomorrow, okay, you can play on Wednesday, like, or whenever the next game is?
It's Wednesday versus Arizona. It's the back-to-back. Yeah. So there's... He's hoping for that, but
is he on the road trip with them? I don't even know if they've left yet.
I don't know. I don't know if they've I assume he would be, or he'd have to just meet them in Arizona if he's allowed to play, because he's definitely going to play in Vegas, like on the Thursday night. That'll be the first game back, and then yes, I think we need to give Morgan Riley. We'll be there too for the game when they come back home after this week-long road trip versus Vegas. Morgan Riley should get the big standing ovation at Scotiabank
Arena. I'm pretty
sure
he will.
Yes. So we're going to go for it.
So
I
don't know.
We're going to be the loudest ones there.
If this galvanizes the team and really pulls everybody together, and if his absence has made them have to work on things and play differently, and if this all works out to their benefit in the end, I think we'll be all good with it. But yeah, anyway.
All right. So that's our rant for.
Yes.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Department of Player Safety. So, enough talking about what we haven't liked. And now it's time for what we've loved from the past couple of weeks in the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. Let's roll it.
All right. Coming in at number three, we have Ilya Samsonov. So since the new year and since being recalled after being put on waivers, Sammy has a 6-2-0 record in 8 games and looks to be getting back to the form that we saw him last season. I'm like really proud of what he has done. That first game that he came back, like, man, he just looked so good. And just, I don't know, like he was pouncing on the puck. It was just great to see. I think one thing that I've noticed, it was pointed out on X as well, that Austin really seems to be championing, I don't know, I can't even say the word, really, really encouraging him and seems to be always going back and like, you know, fist pumping him and stuff, even like after he scores and everything. So like, I think the team's rallied around him and, I think that he might have weathered that storm. And if that's the case, then the team and all of the people that they have behind the scenes that have worked with him and the way they've handled him obviously has worked because he seems to be doing well right now.
It was a great move that they, I guess, didn't play him with the Marlies, like to actually give him the game there. Mm-hmm. They just let him be on his own to figure things out and work things out. And he's not, I mean, there have been occasions during the few games, I think it was against the Flyers, he was a little bit swimming a little bit in the net, like the way he was. But I mean, it wasn't bad. And
but our things didn't fall apart, which is good.
He seems to gather it back in again and to get focused again and then just get it done and finish the game off well. So, but at least, like it doesn't continue. He's managed to get back to his focus in the game. And he's back to his normal self with the media too, which is nice to see. But so that's number three. So number two is Bobby McMahon. So we got to give some love to our bottom six players and in particular, Bobby McMahon, who's been in and out of the lineup and scored his first career hat trick versus the St. Louis Blues and topped off the week with another 2 goals versus the Ducks on Saturday night. His teammates are actually saying that that's now the standard of what they expect from him to be scoring like that. So that apparently came from Willie, I think, the most. He's saying like he's got to stick to scoring those goals. But it's been amazing. And apparently his dad actually watched the hat trick goal like all week, apparently, like all week he's been
over and over again.
So
that's cute.
I love that.
And I think, you know, a lot of people have been waiting for him to get his shot. I think that he's been a favorite of his teammates for a long time and people have been waiting for him to get his chance and show what he can do. So let's hope that this continues because Lord knows we need cheap secondary scoring on this team. Yeah. And if he can continue this and be consistent and, you know, be put in those positions to be able to put the puck in the net.
Matthew said, like, just keep firing away. He's like, right, because you seem to have a shot, just keep firing it and 100% it'll go in. And he's another thing, I guess Sheldon Keefe said too. I was just gonna find the quote here. I thought this was amazing. He didn't even know he was playing that night.
I remember hearing that.
The Where is it? I'm just going to find it here because I was just. Oh, no, this is that one. I thought this was funny, too. It's because they're calling him. They're going to have a Rachel Dory. She tweeted Bobby McMahon is going to have to, a food item on the McDonald's Canada menu if he keeps up his play, because they're like, it's a McMahon McDouble or something like that. They were saying. So I thought that was hilarious, too. But yeah, here's Sheldon Keefe's quote. Sheldon Keefe said he's gone from basically being a healthy scratch earlier in the week to inserting into the lineup at, when the guys get sick. And now he gets 5 goals this week. That's pretty amazing, like remarkable, basically, of a guy. So, yeah. So kudos to Bobby McMahon. Who we have as number one? Can anyone guess?
I wonder who that would be. Well, who else but number 34, Austin Matthews. So the guy is scoring at an unreal pace, scoring his 6th hat trick of the season versus the Ducks. The first player with 6 hat tricks in a season since Mario Lemieux in 95-96, and he's on pace for 75 goals. And I know we mentioned the person we just mentioned in that last sentence, Mario Lemieux. I mean, that is the guy that he reminds me of, you know? And I was just saying to my family earlier today, the fact that I just find he is still somehow underrated in this league. And he does not get the respect that he deserves because I don't remember Mario Lemieux not getting respected all the time.
Yeah. No, I know.
You know, in fact, like the fact that even he doesn't even draw enough penalties. Lemieux, you couldn't even go near him with a stick and you would get a call. And if he didn't get the call, the refs would get an earful. So maybe that's the problem. He doesn't complain enough because Lemieux was one of the biggest whiners ever to play the game. But the one thing that Austin does better than even Lemieux did is use his size. Like he's just so big out there and he protects the puck so well. And I don't know, it's just incredible what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, there's just too many records to go through. If you want to go on if you want to go on X or Facebook, any of the social media sites, you can see all the records on Leafs PR. And even the NHL has been posting the different records that he's just blowing past, whether it be for the franchise or comparing to like Gretzky or Lemieux. So to be in the company with those names, that's like truly unbelievable.
And as a 26-year-old to boot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that is the other kicker, you know, like he is still so young. And, you know, when we talk about Ovi, you know, breaking Gretzky's record, for example, you know, he's basically, you know, going to hobble into that eventually. But Austin may not have to play till he's 37 to potentially break that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that is on the radar now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. The other thing, it was funny because I was on X last night during the Ducks game and I just said to people out there, I just said, like, do you realize what you're witnessing here? Like, it could be the greatest Leaf of all time. Mm-hmm. And somebody came back saying, yeah, but what about the playoffs? And I'm like, oh my God, people. I'm like, yes, there's the playoffs.
There's a lot of great players out there that never won a cup too, mind you.
Oh yeah.
You know? But I guess, yes, that has to happen for him to be probably considered one of the greatest. Like, sad to say, but you need to have one of those rings, right? But still, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. To me, I don't know. You just gotta look at what he's doing and how can you not, like, you gotta appreciate it more, what you're watching. Mm-hmm. Right. I just don't understand. Right.
For sure. Like I don't know. I'm not taking him for granted, not one iota. And I feel so blessed to be witnessing this. And it just reminds me of when we were in Vegas and we had the really good seats by the glass. Yeah. And basically that moment we had.
Austin Matthews
with Austin.
Was just coming. Yeah, Matthews was just coming at us in through the glass sort of thing. And we both turned to each other and we were like, oh
yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, so we also have some honorable mentions to a few players who are on the cusp of making our highlight reel this time around, and that's Morgan Riley, and obviously we know why. Mitch Marner, who has put up 9 points in his last 5 games very quietly, and also William Nylander for getting his 500th career point. So now we're going to move on to our third period segment, and we're going to talk about the upcoming NHL trade deadline, options for the Leafs, and we're going to revisit a couple of past deadline deals as well, just to see, you know, really how bad is it right now with our Leafs coming up on the deadline in comparison to some of the other deals that were made in the past. So,
all right. So, yeah. So for our third period segment, the way the season is really gone right now, I'm really not sure if Brad Treliving is really going to do anything with making moves the way the prices are. And it seems to be a little bit crazy from what I've heard in the rumorville, but rumor mill. I think I said ville there. But I mean, it's all about this first round pick, right, that the Leafs have. And if we were going to actually trade that first round pick, I would think that one of the rumors that I've heard was with Philly, basically. And it's trading our number one pick and possibly Nick Robertson to Philadelphia for right shot defenseman Sean Walker, who's a top four D-man for them. And for me, it would have to actually include another a forward. And that would be, well, there's Scott Laughton. And there's also Alexander Carrier that apparently has been mentioned, I guess. But yeah, I just think, I mean, Sean Walker, I didn't look until we're preparing for this show, and I was just looking at some of the notes on him. And I mean, he kills penalties, blocks shots. He's a right shot D-man who can make plays. What else do we need? Right? I was just like, perfect second pair guy with for us. So yeah, the only issue that I have with him, like, again, if we're going to trade that first round pick, is he is a UFA at the end of the year, and I would need some sort of guarantee that he would sign again with us. Like, rather that right now he's making $2.65 million in the final year of his contract. So and then the Scott Laughton, he's the assistant captain right now of Philadelphia. He's been there 11 seasons. So he's been there long. He was drafted by them. So I don't know. That's going to be a tough one, I think, to get Philly to, because they're looking at basically, they want a first round pick for just him, for Scott Laughton, if they were to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because there's Boston and the Avalanche, Colorado Avalanche, that have been also linked to these players. And then another player, while I was looking at this, that his name has come up before, I think, with Kyle Dubas too, like when Dubas was the manager with us, is Alexander Wenberg. He's with Seattle. And again, mm-hmm. he's like a centerman that kills penalties and is on the power play too. So those are the players, I think, if we want to look at trading that first round pick, I would look at something like that to say it's worth it. Some people say, like, I guess in the videos I was watching, like, to actually have Nick Robertson included in that deal with Philly would be kind of too much, like to have Nick Robertson and a first round pick. But I don't know. I still think Robertson needs a fresh start somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's going to get any further here.
Yeah.
And I really feel like he needs to be someplace where he's going to get consistent top 6 minutes and more of a chance to develop, because I just don't see that he can really fit in here. And he's not going to be able to be given time here to be able to grow into who he needs to be. Like, you know, his brother, kind of similar, like late bloomer. And, you know, he ended up to being able to land in Dallas at the right time and be able to grow his game. He kind of needs sort of that same sort of shot, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how he would do under Tortorella, but
In That's Philly? I don't know. I mean, might be the best thing for him. Like, by all accounts, like, the guy is a tough coach, yes, but he also loves his players.
Yeah.
He's like a, he's definitely about tough love. He's not just tough. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
So, I don't know. And it's interesting that I find it interesting, too, that we are looking for another, like, the bottom six forward. Because those players, Scott Laughton and Alexander Wennberg, are both centers. So, and that just points to what we were talking about with David Kemp before. He's supposed to be one of those types of players too, but he's just not getting the job done for us. And so we're going.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he was never brought on to be, a scorer, a scoring center, really.
No,
but he did have his best offensive seasons, though. With the Leafs. So it just shows that in the right situations, a guy like that can chip in. It's just not happening right now. And we do need either him to get the stops in the right place so that we can get those ozone starts, or, you know, something has to happen where he is creating offense from his defense.
Otherwise, if we do make a deal like this for one of these fourth line players or third, fourth line players, then David Kemp is going to see his ice time reduced quite a bit, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But okay. Okay. Right, so what's your deal?
So basically I was looking at defense as well, because obviously, like, you didn't mention him, but Tanev is still kind of like the number one target, but he's also going to be that expensive target. And I don't really want them to give up that first round pick. And I don't really think that Treliving wants to either. So you mentioned Alexander Carrier, and now he's with the Nashville Predators. He's a right shot D. He's in that 27.
I made a mistake then. I thought he was with, I thought he was with Philly.
No, he's not.
Anyways.
But he's been mentioned in a lot of the same articles that, whatchamacallit, Walker has been mentioned in.
Okay.
His cap hit is a little bit less. He's also a UFA at the end of this season, but he can probably be had for not as high a pick as maybe Walker or for sure Tanev. So that is the person that kind of caught my eye. He's kind of 10th on the board right now for on the trade bait board. He's got 4 goals and 15 points in 49 games. He's got the lowest cap hit of the guys that we mentioned, as I said. And he's basically probably the best bargain for, you know, what we need. And he's also a right shot D as well. So
he's a right shot D too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because that's definitely what we need. So does he kill penalties? Does it say?
I don't know. I didn't find any information on that, but
yeah. All right. Because that's one thing I think, especially for the playoffs, like, we need that. But I mean, Nashville's always been a good,
defensive-minded team.
And the defense, basically. The defense that they've had there going back to Shea Weber. Like, it's just, like, unbelievable how many great defensemen they
I'm pretty sure that you can learn a few things playing with Roman Josi as a teammate.
Yeah. Yeah. That helps. Yeah. That's funny, because I was mentioning to Syl before we came on there that I thought she was going to be going for Philip Forsberg, the forward there, but
no,
with Nashville, but no.
No, I don't think that. I haven't heard him mention it all in any trade talks. And honestly, I don't think he, from what I gathered listening to him talk about playing in Nashville when we were at the All-Star game, didn't sound like he wanted to leave there. He seems pretty happy there. Yeah. So, which is why he signed the long-term deal. So, I don't think that mustache is coming to Toronto anytime soon.
And I don't think the cap hit, I don't think will work either. So,
no.
All right. So now we're going to go into the past, basically, and trade deadline deals that the Leafs have made. Unfortunately, most of them haven't been great. But so the one that I picked after looking through a few articles was a 2007 deadline deal that brought Yannick Perreault back to Toronto for a third time from Phoenix. It was the Phoenix Coyotes then, not the Arizona Coyotes, for a second round pick. Unfortunately, that second round pick eventually got to Nashville, who we just mentioned selected defenseman, and now their captain, Roman Josi. So that one obviously did not work out too well, but Yannick Perreault, just talking about him, I mean, he was, it's just so funny because when he came to the Leafs the second time, I guess that was the time with, I guess Cujo was in goal and Sundin obviously was
the
main.
That's the time that they never should have traded him.
Yes, because he was, if ever most of Leafs Nation knows, like he was the face-off specialist. Like he won every draw all the time in the defensive zone. And we just loved him for that. Like we won, like Pat Quinn was the coach then and he had him out there for every important draw.
And then he went to Edmonton after that, right? And
I think it was Chicago. I know he went to Chicago at one point, but after that he went to several teams after being traded. But for some reason when he came back the third time in 2007, Paul Maurice was the coach then of the team and he didn't play him. I actually do remember after I was saying to Syl beforehand, I kind of have a blur when it comes to the 2000s and what happened that time, probably because I was not a fan of Matt Sundin. Paul Maurice didn't play him for whatever reason. And he was only there that following season. Then he got traded again. So that was my, I guess, memory from that time. I picked Yannick Perreault. There were other ones from the 80s, but I just liked the fact that there's still a connection with that Roman Josi being
in the league still.
Yeah, that's insane.
And playing at such a high level still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great player. Yeah,
for sure. Okay, so I went back to 2003 with my deadline deal, and it's where GM and head coach Pat Quinn got Owen Nolan from the San Jose Sharks for Brad Boyes and Alan McCauley and a 2003 first round pick. So at that time, Matt Sundin and Alex Mogilny were pretty much carrying the ship for the team. And of course, what did Pat Quinn want to do? He wanted to bolster the secondary scoring by getting sniper Owen Nolan and make a real big push for the playoffs that year. And so the first round pick ended up being sent to Boston, who picked a D-man, Mark Stewart, who played 673 NHL games. So, Nolan to T.O. He started off pretty quick with 12 points in 14 games right off the bat, but his scoring touch really dropped off in the playoffs and he wasn't much of a factor as Quinn really would have hoped. And of course, we had a first round exit that season versus Philadelphia. And then after that, I think he played like 63 games with us the next season, but he was kind of in and out of the lineup with injuries and he never really made any mark. And of course, Alan McCauley, he pretty much stayed with San Jose for quite a while after that. And he was a serviceable bottom six guy. And Brad Boyes, he ended up coming back to the Leafs eventually. He ended up being a 40 goal scorer and a really good, second line center for a lot of years.
Cause he
went to Buffalo.
Oh, he went to Buffalo. Okay. Yeah. All right. He was with St. Louis, I think, at one point.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other part of that equation, that first round pick that year was a really good draft. And there were guys like named Bergeron, Ryan Kessler, Corey Perry, all available in the first round that year. So yeah,
that was a primo draft that draft year. And but at least Boston with our pick, they picked Mark Stewart, which I didn't even know who that was. So I was like, at least it's not as bad as Roman Josi, right?
Yeah.
So like you said, there was the excitement of having Owen Nolan. I mean, he scored.
Well, yeah, and it was right off of that, all-star game where he pointed at the net and he scored and all of that, and there's many, you know, young Leaf players now who I think even at this All-Star game, this past All-Star game, I think I heard Marner talking about that, you know, and how.
Yes. Yeah. You're right.
You know, like that was something that he remembered as a kid. So it was an exciting thing to have him come to our team for sure. But, you know, just like, you know, last year, for example, we got O'Reilly and Achari and Luke Shen, you know, these are all things that bring excitement, but in the end, it just didn't pan out, you know?
Yeah. And like, I mean, he had 44 goals, I guess, with the Sharks in 99, mm-hmm. 2000, but, and then it dropped off quite a bit. And then he still was in the 20 goal range. But yeah. It was just the fact that he also brought that physicality, right? Mm-hmm. So to the game, but then injuries hurt him. So
yeah, but it just goes to show you though, you know, that the things that we're needing now in when it comes to secondary scoring, mm-hmm. that's exactly the same stuff that they were looking for back then. You know, it's the same story, yeah. You know, more than 20 years or about 20 years, you know, ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Same old, same old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, trade deadline is always a great time for fans and a lot of talking points like we just talked about, but there are still a lot of games to be played before that. So now we're just going to run through the Leafs' upcoming schedule. Starting tomorrow on Monday, they have an afternoon game versus the Blues in St. Louis and then head to Arizona and lovely Mullet Arena.
Yeah. So you got to turn up the brightness on the TV for that game because it's not very good lighting there.
Avoid the shadows, right?
Yeah.
And that's on Wednesday night. And then it's a back-to-back the next night on Thursday. They're going to be playing Vegas. And then they head to Denver on Saturday night to play the Avalanche. And they haven't been playing too well, the Avalanche either, but lately. But yeah.
So sad, too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm
going to be looking forward to watching Cale Makar. Like, he's got to be up there as one of my faves now.
Yeah.
After the All-Star game.
After the All-Star game.
I'm going to have my eyes glued to him and Austin Matthews.
Yeah, of course. Games. Well, I guess Austin's probably going to get I would think he's going to get the 50 goal mark like sometime this week.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, knock on wood, whatever. Yeah. Like just so, or maybe he'll save it for us, right? But that'll be too long for the game.
No.
The following week. No, I don't think so.
It's got to happen.
Yeah.
He's really feeling it right now.
It would be great if he could do it versus Arizona.
That would be nice, actually.
That would be nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the following week, they come back here and then they're going to play those same Golden Knights on February 27th. And we'll be there for that. Then also Arizona comes to visit Scotiabank Arena on Thursday, the 29th. And then to start March, they have a couple big games at home. First being against the Rangers on Saturday night and then the Bruins on Monday, March 4th. So it's now we're in like the thick of it really for the rest of the season, I think is going to be tough sledding. It's not going to be a lot of bottom feeders in opposition going forward. So
yeah, and the Golden Knights, I mean, to play them so close, like almost back to back like that, that's going to be a huge test for us to see where we're at.
For sure, because, you know, I know that the Oilers have played them a couple times in the last little bit and didn't fare that well against them.
Yeah.
So and they are a team that rolls four lines. You not get any breaks against them. So, you know, obviously Stanley Cup champs, right?
Yeah, and they're a big team.
Always got to beat them.
Yeah, they're a big team. And then the other ones, the two games that are highlighted are the Rangers on the Saturday night and then the Bruins. Like, those are the big games.
Yeah, it feels like forever since we played them.
Yeah, the Boston team that I mean, not to say that I really care about playing them, but the team that we haven't played are the Habs. It's almost like we haven't played them all
I think
year.
Basically, we play them at the beginning and then we usually play them at the end. But I think we have less games against them this year overall anyways as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just amazed.
Weird scheduling with them this year.
Yeah, that's for sure. But
anyway, before we go, just a reminder to hit that follow button wherever you listen to our show, Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app. You can also find us on the Believe Network at Believe.com or on our website, LadiesTalkingLeafs.com. You can find the link to our show on our website and across all our social media channels. And our handle is at LTL1917. And you can also watch our show on YouTube, our channel, same handle. And you can see a whole bunch of our videos that we post for all the games that we see and view at Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah, and we'd also love to hear from you. Leave us a rating or a review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, or leave us a comment on YouTube. We'd love to hear from you guys. And it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leafs content. And if you have any questions or comments on the Leafs, please leave us a comment on our social media posts or DM us. As you all saw, probably my special video asking for some questions. We want to get more fan interaction and hear from you. And we thank you for taking the time.
And of course, another way to help us is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find our link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And thank you to our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
And we thank you, as always, for listening and watching Ladies Talking Leafs, presented by Bet Online. Till next time, go Leafs, go! Leafs, go.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.